morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How many would like to have a transformative word this morning? How many are believing for that? Wow. I love the Feast of Rosh Hashanah because it's so impactful to where we're at in our lives concerning the times of the feast. You know, during the times of the feast, God always marks them for us as something significant. It's not because we look at them in the context of the way the Jewish nation looked at them. We, of course, see them through spiritual eyes. But during the times of the feast is the time that we begin to mark in our own hearts the meaning that God brings and gives. We know the Feast of Passover is the beginning, Feast of Pentecost, Feast of Tabernacles are the three main feasts. But inside those three main feasts, we have a total of seven feasts, and we're entering into that today in the Rosh Hashanah, which is the time of the blowing of the trumpets. And I always love the season of the trumpet because the trumpet represents what's in your mouth, what you speak. And we know it's so true that God directs the course of our life by the declarations that we make. You know, very seldom in life do you wind up happenstance. Something just happens to you that doesn't really change you. It usually is the mark of what you believe for, what you speak. And so the word that God puts in your mouth, it's tied into your heart, for it's out of the heart the mouth speaks. So during the time of Rosh Hashanah, we want to remind ourselves that we are to become the spokesman of the Lord. We're to become those that declare the word of the Lord. We're to become those that have something birthed in our hearts, in our faith, that actually then we become the vocal representation of that to the earth. The power of life and death is in the tongue. I would ask you to touch your tongue this morning, but it would gross me out. So play like you're touching your tongue. Amen. Don't stick your tongue out because I might be offended. I would be offended, by the way. But there's something that's powerfully released out of the heart of the believer during the season, because when you come to the Day of Trumpet, you're literally coming to the head of all the beginnings. Everything that is and has been or shall be begins on this day. Amen. This is the beginning of creation. Amen. So we literally can come to this place today with this anticipation of creation. So no matter where you're at in your life, you look at Rosh Hashanah as a new day for you. Everybody say, this is my new day. The scripture tells us that old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. And that's the beautiful principle of the Lord, because he never leaves us stuck where we're at. He's always got something greater in mind for us. He never wants you to be limited by what you've been. He wants you to be charged with anticipation of what you can become. Amen? Everybody say, I'm becoming more and more of what God wants me to be every day. Because God is creating a people upon the earth to become the trumpeters of a new age, the trumpeters of a new place in history. Somewhere, someday, the church will rise up with such faith and boldness that it will literally declare something brand new, and it shall come to pass. Wouldn't it be surprising if really what you said actually happened? That'd almost be different than what we're used to. But that's the faith that God puts in people that have a revelation of who he is, that we literally can create something that's never been created before. That's what the faith that God had. God created the heavens and the earth by the word that he spoke. How many would have dreamed that God could dream up you? Amen. Did you know that the whole worlds were framed by the word of the Lord? Everything that is came forth out of nothing. Everything that shall be in your life also comes from that same place. God has put you in the place that you can begin to become a creator of something new in your life. So today marks the beginning of the Jewish Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the new year. And I looked this up. It's the word that they gave to one another on that day was this. And I might have you turn to someone and say this to them in just a moment. May you be inscribed and sealed for a good year. Turn to someone and say that. May you be inscribed and sealed for a good year. How many are going to believe this is going to be the best year you've ever lived? Oh, you're excited. How many believe this is going to be the best year you've ever lived? If you really believe that, you will begin to set the stage for something incredible to happen in your life. Because Rosh Hashanah is setting the stage for what God is fixing to birth forth in the midst of us. For it is 10 days after Rosh Hashanah that the Day of Atonement comes. And we're going to get more into that next week, but in the next 2 weeks. But the Day of Atonement is the day of beginnings, because this is the day that by the mercy and grace of God, everything is cleansed from our life. Everything is taken away that's been a hindrance to us because of the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. So this is the best day. This is the day we inscribe to be the day of a new year. It's a time of proclamation to set us on course of what we're to be. The Lord gives us a time where we begin to declare that which is to be and that which is to happen to make this the year that God intended it for be for our life. God has caused all things to work to good for them who are called of God according to his purpose. How many are called of God? Everybody say, God has called me to make this year work for his purpose. Amen. Let's look in Hebrews chapter 11 as our classic chapter on faith. Amen. Now faith is, verse 1, chapter 11. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let's say it again. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. How do you obtain a good testimony? By faith. Amen. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And through it, he being dead, still speaks. By faith, you know, that's the beautiful thing about faith, because we go on to the roll call of faith and all these people that are dead, but they're not forgotten. Faith will not be forgotten in you. No matter how long you live, the only thing that really matters is the faith that was produced out of your heart. Because that faith will keep on living. It will keep on giving. It will keep on speaking throughout eternity. Once faith has been launched in the spirit realm, it can have no conclusion other than a conclusion of fulfillment. Once faith has been birthed in you, that faith is eternal. The moment you make a stand of faith and you believe God and you stand on the word of God and confess it, and there's no doubt in your heart, then that you've set on course a motion of eternity that can never be stopped. Amen. Amen. So don't ever look at your life as being insignificant and just a waste of time. Look at it as being an eternal place in history that literally creates something for the next generation. Not only this generation, but the next generation and the generation after that. Because the faith will always be remembered in the annals of heaven. Amen? Whatever's birthed in you by the Spirit of God is written upon the eternal place that can never be forgotten nor destroyed. You cannot destroy faith. You cannot sink faith. You cannot burn it up. You cannot kick it out. You cannot push it aside, but faith will prevail in your life. This is the faith that overcomes the world. Hallelujah. Be strong in the faith. Glory to God. Whew. Where did I stop at? What verse?
Five.
Start with five. By faith, Enoch was translated so that he did not see death. It was not found because God had translated him. For before this translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Let's say that again. Say it with me. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen. It's time in our life we forget the failure and the shortcomings of our past. Amen. Can you reach your hands up with me this morning? Say, Lord, all my failures, all my shortcomings in my past, let your atonement, let your blood remove that in Jesus' name. Amen. When we remove the past mistakes and the past shortcomings and the past sin, whether by commission or omission, we set the stage for the bursting forth of something new in our life. Because see, faith is looking into the unseen realm to bring that unseen realm to become a seen realm in the midst of you. Amen? Faith is simply the fantasy of what could be versus the reality of what we see. I choose not to believe what I see, but I choose to believe what he said. Because what he said is greater than what I can see with my natural eye. What he's declared over me is more than the sum total of all my failures or all my mistakes. No matter how many times I've come up short, God's grace is sufficient for my need. His ability to have faith for me goes beyond my ability to have faith for myself. For when I'm faithless, he's found faithful in the midst of me. And when he comes, will he find faith upon the earth? When he looks upon your heart, will he see the nugget, the granule of faith that's in your spirit that cannot be destroyed, that keeps prevailing over everything that comes against you? Wow. This is a day of faith. Everybody say a day of faith. We can bring in a whole new era to our life that's literally free from the limitations of our past. You can bring in a whole new era to your life that's free from the limitations of your past.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
What's past is past. Amen. What you've done is no longer relevant. But what you are today is what God speaks. This is who you are, saith the Lord. This is my sons. This is my daughters in whom I'm well pleased. Those that have positioned themselves by faith. Pure faith literally moves the unseen fulfillment. It brings the whole world that's unseen into the realm of possibility and the realm of manifestation. It's calling those things as not. Calling those things is not as though they are. Hallelujah. It frees us. Faith frees us from the normal confines of circumstances. Faith literally overwhelms circumstances and renders them useless and neuters them. Amen. Wouldn't you like your circumstances just to get splashed all over the place because the faith comes and just stomps on them? Amen. We walk by faith and not by sight. I like that, don't you? Genesis chapter 18. Let's go all the way back. Let's see how this stuff got started. Amen. You know, God's been doing this stuff for a long time. And he's getting pretty proficient at getting the point across. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God. Everybody say, thank God he's patient. You know, the Lord said that we become patient, but just think how patient he is. He invented patience because he deals with us. That's why I'm patient with you. And hopefully you're patient with me because we understand the need for patience. See, faith works by love, but faith is moved by obedience. And faith is moved by position. So I'm motivated by love to have faith because I've received that love into my life. But then I position myself in obedience because faith always takes an activity of obedience in order to activate it. When God says do something, you do it in obedience. That's faith, isn't it? So you take one step, and when you take a step, guess what? God meets you at that place. If you want to see something happen dramatic in your life, what you do, you hear from God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. So what do you do when you hear something from God? Do you just let it sit on the shelf and ferment? Hopefully one day that word that God spoke will come to pass. Or do you act on it? When you act on it, it's called obedience. So obedience then is saying, I know that God could do this. I believe that God could do this. I have faith that God can do this. So God, when in the heck are you going to do it? He says, when you take a step, when you move, then that's when it'll be fulfilled in your life. Because faith is not something you receive because of the passivity of your heart. Faith comes because there's something in you that seizes the promise and believes God to reward them that diligently seek him. So you take a step and God meets you at that place. Amen? How many have ever taken a step of faith? How many are ready to take another step? Amen. Step by step. We keep stepping in faith, and the more we keep stepping in faith, the further we invade the realm of the impossible. The further we invade the realm of the invisible to make a manifestation of that upon the earth. Hallelujah. Something about faith that cannot be stopped. And we look in the book of Genesis chapter 18, and we see the age-old story of Sarah and Abraham and the things that they went through in order to believe God. You know, God had given them a promise. And like many of the promises we get from God, they often are delayed. How many have ever found that to be true in your life? When God said something to some of you many years ago, you often begin to wonder, when will this happen? When will it come to pass? And during the process of this happening to your life, no matter how much you've believed, no matter how much you stood out, you've stepped out, no matter how much you've contended, sometimes things just seem to be delayed. Amen? But that doesn't change the fact that God said it. It may be delayed on your schedule. It may be something that you become disappointed in, but God has not forgotten his word over your life. Amen? And this is the thing that happened to Abraham and Sarah. God had spoken to them that they were going to, that through their loin would become, they become father of many nations. That out of their obedience to God, when Abraham was called out of Ur of Chaldees to follow the Lord, is that he obeyed God, not knowing where he was going, but yet he went anyway. And oftentimes faith requires that. Faith oftentimes requires a partial word. Not a complete word. It's simply God says go. And so you go in faith, not knowing where you're going, not knowing how you're going to get there, not knowing the results, but you go out of obedience. And so Abraham did that. He obeyed God. He went into a place to where he was no longer comfortable with the situation. He sojourned in a land that he did not know, yet he went because God had told him to go. And God told him, in this obedience, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. Of course, we all know that in conclusion of the story, we are the descendants of Abraham. Amen? And he's called the father of faith. And so we look at the pattern of Abraham to understand the workings of faith for our life and how it works. And so Abraham and Sarah were in this great predicament because God had told them that they were going to be the father and mother of many nations. But in verse 17 of chapter 17, not 18, Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old and Sarah, who's 90 years old, bear a child? He married a child bride. Okay. 90-year-old, bear a child. And so we know that because of Abraham's impatience with the fulfillment, he created a son in the flesh with Hagar, the bondservant. And because of that, Hagar born forth a son named Ishmael. And we all know we're all bearing the brunt of that to this day, right? Because God still honored that and made a great nation out of Ishmael. And we know, but that nation rose up as diametrically opposed to the nation of Isaac. Amen? And so we have this conflict there between the flesh and the spirit. Because that which is born of the flesh is not born of faith, it's born of the will of man. That which is born of the spirit is that which is born of the flesh, which always produces spiritual results. What we sow in the flesh does not produce the results that God wants us to produce in the spirit. But it's oftentimes hard to distinguish the two because there's something in our old nature that desires for fulfillment. So we oftentimes make things work because we desire for something to work, but yet God didn't lead us to that place of it working. Does that make sense to you? So Lord, help us to be led by the Spirit. Help us to hear the word of the Lord and not just fulfill the desires of our flesh. So it goes on in chapter 18 about Sarah in verse 12. Well, look, verse 11. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also. And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I'm old? Then this is the profound word from God. Is there anything too hard for God? Is there anything too hard for God? So the question we ask ourselves this morning, the things that we're facing in life that would not only maybe cause us to laugh, but maybe cause us to cry, could we hear God's voice this morning, him saying to us, is there anything too hard for me? Have I brought you to this place to fail? Have I brought you to this place of unfulfillment? Have I brought you to this place where you can't make it? Is there anything too hard for me? We say, no, Lord, there isn't anything too hard for you. The funny part about this whole scripture, it says, at the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it. She denied, I did not laugh. I did not laugh, for she was afraid. Said, no, but you did laugh. Okay. You know, it's all right. It's all right to doubt God sometimes, as long as you don't let that doubt rule. What about Peter? He was walking on the water, and he took his eyes off the prize. What happened? He sank. Did he doubt the Lord? Yes. But what did Peter do? Later on, his very shadow would heal the sick. So sometimes you have to understand, in your weakness, you will doubt. In your weakness, you will have fear. But God will not hold that against you because he always bounces back to the place of faith. You always come back to the place of, I believe God. I believe that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all I ask or think. I believe that when I stand in faith, he will call those things as not as though they were, and they shall come to pass in my life. Amen. Then we're going to turn to Genesis chapter 22. See, faith becomes always a test of our willingness to be obedient. Like Abraham, we obey in faith, trusting the Lord to make a provision. Abraham's greatest test came in Genesis chapter 22 when the Lord told him to go up to Mount Moriah and to take his son Isaac and offer him as a burnt offering. And so Abraham went to the mountain, and his son was trusting him. And Abraham was going to bring the promise that God had given him to the mountain to make sacrifice. See, faith will always be tested in your life, because God has to find out within us if there's a willingness in our life to be obedient. Because the greatest test comes when the greatest promise is fulfilled. Because God will cause us to take the thing that's most precious to us and lay it on the altar. So here Abraham carried Isaac to this place of the altar to lay him there bound, placed him upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took his knife to slay his own son. Here was the son that had waited these many years to see birthed. Yet God was saying, I'm requiring the very thing that you hold dear to be a sacrifice. See, that's incredible, because how can we believe that God would require the very promise that he's given us to be the very thing that we give back to him? Back in 1973 in Louisiana, some of you haven't heard the story, but for those of you who have, maybe you can put on your earplugs. But as I was standing in this swamp in Louisiana, after these several days of seeking the Lord had me die to the promises that God had given me. And that was when that I saw in my mind's eye, literally burying my wife, my son David. David, sorry about that. I'm glad you got resurrected. Burying them in the ground, in the pain of giving up my new wife and my new child was unbearable. I wept just like it had actually happened. And then the Lord said, that call I've given you, because when the Lord called me in 1970 to preach, it was a dramatic call. I was sitting in a Baptist church and on a prayer meeting on a Saturday night and went running to the altar and I screamed out. And I knew then I probably wouldn't last in the Baptist church. I screamed out, I surrender. Because at that moment, I heard the voice of the Lord and said, I'm calling you to preach my gospel. And that call became so precious to me that it became my very identity and my very life just within a short time. But then the Lord said, I want you to give that back to me. So I visualized it in my heart, and I just began to weep bitter tears. I learned not to say crocodile tears, because I learned last week that crocodile tears means fake tears. I just thought it meant big tears. So you learn something every day, don't you? So I was crying big tears, not crocodile tears. Big tears, not fake tears. Because I was actually dying to the promise that God had given me. This is something I'd believed for. This is something I'd contended for. This is something that I lived for. And God said, give it up. And in doing that, I laid all that down. I literally became a man that was filled with a great vacuum, because I died to everything that God had given me. This beautiful wife, this beautiful child, this beautiful ministry, all of a sudden it was all taken away. And when I put it in that grave, I didn't know if it would ever be resurrected again. And this is what Abraham faced when he brought his son Isaac and said, the Lord said, lay your son upon the altar. And he laid him there, and he took out a knife. You can imagine the feeling in his heart because he was ready to obey, but then God intervened in the midst of that, and the Lord said to him, let's read what he said. Amen. He said, don't lay your hand on the lad, verse 12, or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And then Abraham lifted his eyes, and there was a ram caught in a thicket. So Abraham went and took the ram, offered it to the burnt offering instead of the son. And Abraham called the name of the place. This is the name of the place. And this is the name that God will put upon you when your heart enters into the same spirit of Abraham. The Lord will provide. Amen. The Lord will provide. It shall be, I don't know what verse translation that is. Oh, that's mine, isn't it? Yeah, the Lord will provide. As it said this day in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. Amen. So this is what faith does. Faith makes provision when you believe in your heart, but yet you understand that everything that God gives is from Him. None of this comes from you. None of this thing that you're going to be or what you're going to do or what you're going to accomplish, none of this comes because of who you are, but it becomes because of what God has said over your life. Amen? Lord, birth a generation of people that have this heart. Keep your heart set upon the faith that He's birthed in you. When everything else seems the opposite, when everything is dictating you, telling you, persuading you, pulling you in the opposite direction, don't waver. No matter how great the battle, keep reaching in. In spite of the circumstance, keep believing God. Amen? Because your faith will not fail. Tears may be for a season. Weeping may be between the porch and the altar. There might be much weeping in the darkness of midnight. But joy will come in the morning. There might be a deep tomb that a stone was rolled over. There was weeping and lamenting and disappointment because of unfulfilled promise. But on the third day, He rose again. Hallelujah. Claim much in your life and accept no less. Believe God for the great things that you can imagine. Let your imaginations run wild. From the last days, He said, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Lord, let your anointing be poured out upon us so that we have an unlimited vision and dream of your kingdom, that we may believe God for the greatest things that's ever been believed for upon the planet. Then act on those things that God has set before you. Become an aggressive slayer of the giant. Anticipate the answer as though it were already accomplished. Go around acting like an idiot, saying, I believe God. I believe God. Well, look at this. Look what's happening to you. Don't you understand? No, I believe God. God. Amen? Believe the confirmed word of God above all reason or rhyme. Believe to keep speaking the word of the Lord to bring His will to pass. See, faith becomes activated in the atmosphere of the word being spoken, of a Rosh Hashanah moment when there's a declaration of trumpets in the midst of us. Faith is activated in this glory realm when we come into the presence of the Lord and we stand in the presence of God until our hearts are transformed by the very radiance of His presence. When we abide in Him and He abides in us, then whatever we ask in His name shall be done unto us. No matter where you are today, keep looking without wavering for the tomorrow, and it shall come to pass. We're like a tree planted by the water. We shall not be moved. That word that's fermenting and birthing within us, that word that literally, like a wheat kernel cracking open, births a plant in us that just springs forth out of the midst of us. Out of the weakness of our own flesh, the strength of God manifest to where we become like a battering ram into the realms of darkness, invading the very realms that have captured the hearts of men and yanking them out of the prisons, yanking them out of the fire, yanking them out of the place where they've been destroyed and bringing them up to the new place, saying, this is the place, stand upon this. This is what God wants for you. Remember, before you climb the valley, climb the mountain of faith, you'll often walk through the valley of doubt. You'll often go through the times of despair. You'll often go through the times of second guessing who you are and what you are and what you're to be. You'll often go through the ups and downs and the pressures of life. But as long as you keep your eyes upon the mountain, the God, he says, this is the place I provide. This is the place I meet you. That's the place we're going to. Amen. You can believe God and yet still have your moments of doubt. But if we are of faith, we just keep on acting on the word. We keep ignoring our fears. We keep saying no to doubt, no to unbelief, no to the things that entrap us, and yes to the things of the Lord that keeps lifting us up to the place of victory.